Hey guys, today we're talking with the Global Senior Pastor of Hillsong Church, also the founder of Hillsong Church, Brian Houston. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Good to be here with you.
Thank you. Now, you've just released your new book, There Is More. Yes. Fantastic book. For someone like yourself who's now obviously leading an amazing church, including a Grammy Award-winning worship team, what does more mean for you?
Look, to me, when I write this book, it's not talking about stuff and, you know, material goods. That's actually the last thing on my mind. It's really more of God and more of God's plan for your life. And I feel like if everyone really understood the way God sees them and that they're purposed and He's called them and they have a reason, and no matter what a gift and talent is, then, you know, we can serve God with it and entering into the more there.
When you're living the life that you and your family have lived and are living right now, there'd be some people who think you've got a fantastic life, it's really blessed, you've obviously done quite a lot, but how do you start your dream from the beginning? Because for you to see more, you feel like, you know, yeah, I've got it, I'm there. Yeah. What about someone right at the start?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's the first chapter of the book is all about that. Joseph obviously was a dreamer when he was 17 years old. So I asked people when they were 17, what did they dream of? Were they allowed to dream? Were they encouraged to dream? And so I remember very vividly as a young kid, I used to sit in church and just dream about serving God one day. And my dreams are always related to one day being able to preach, one day to be able to build the church. And you sit back there then, and that's all it is, it's a dream. And you don't really know deep down whether it could ever come to pass. And that's why it's actually this very time we're talking, Bobby and I have been in Australia for 40 years. I was 24, she was 21 when we came here. And of course, everything's been so incredible for us here, with plenty of bumps along the way, I must say. And when we came here, we had no idea. We're just young kids with a dream. So I am an absolute believer in the power of dreams. And like everybody else, we started humbly. We had nothing. We, you know, we started a church. We had no guarantees. We just hoped people would come next week and just been faithful to it. And I think we're the best example of God being able to do exceeding abundant and above what you could ever ask or think, because we could never have imagined what God would do in our lives.
Is it more than just having a vision for your life and being really diligent with your time and kind of, you know, mapping out, as we all do, New Year's resolutions, and what have I got to do this week to get to that goal that week? Yeah. Is it more than that practical diligence with the dream, or is there another aspect to it as well?
Well, I think, you know, very simple things like consistency and longevity, it's not going to happen overnight. And I think a lot of people, they bail on their dream too early. Obviously, there's a word around and about us that don't necessarily encourage us to dream. In fact, quite often the opposite. Australia has a mentality, especially more in the academic world, that if you're aspirational, it's like there's something wrong with that. And of course, dreaming and aspiring, I believe, is as Christians what we should do, because you're on the earth for a purpose. And the fact that, you know, life's an adventure, this incredible adventure called the will of God. And that's why I believe there is more. And that's why I wrote this book, because as long as there's more life to you, unless you're retiring tomorrow or intending to die tomorrow, then I believe there is more. It's called the will of God, and it's incredible.
You've been really honest about your life over the years, sometimes because people are asking you questions and a lot of attention has been kind of given to you and Bobby and obviously the church. After the Royal Commission a few years ago, I remember you saying on platform that you really felt like you'd lost your mojo a little bit, and you were really heartfelt in sharing that story and that journey. Yeah. When you've got people who have broken dreams or go through something like that, if it can even be compared to, how did you find your mojo again and come back to a place of pushing forward?
We went through some very rough years. Obviously, it's well known that we had intense scrutiny from the media for more than a decade. By God's grace, that's all got a whole lot better these days. But, and so, you know, there was that pressure. And then obviously the issues that I spoke about in Live Lovely, my first book, that related to my dad and finding out that he was a child abuser many, many years ago. Those things really rocked me. And I spent a lot of time kind of looking after everything else and everybody else, and probably didn't look after myself. So I just spiraled over, I think, probably 10, 12 years till I got to that point where I had a massive panic attack, actually. Only one I ever had. The doctor said, oh, you probably get them for the rest of your life. And I decided that's not going to happen. I've never ever had another one. But, you know, things, I was at a place I didn't think I could get. I was always Mr. Invincible, you know, burnouts, all those things, they were for other people.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot. You know, I learned the importance of looking after yourself. I learned the importance, if you need to get professional help when, you know, sometimes as Christians we think, you know, that's a carnal thing to do, but I would encourage anyone to get good professional help. And, you know, the truth is that I just made some adjustments. I think when I got told that I had post-traumatic stress, it made sense to me over the whole issues related to my dad, who you got to understand was my hero and my mentor. And so I was in my 40s when I found out about these things that had happened way back in the early 1970s. And so, yeah, it was just a big deal. But, you know, the truth is that for whatever reason, I think God healed me literally after they were saying, oh, you're going to have to take 12 months and so on. It was a matter of days, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And I feel like I got my mojo back. So I actually feel like, you know, addressing it, hearing a diagnosis that helped me to understand what was going on in my life, that I wasn't just going crazy, and then making a few small adjustments in my life. And I just feel like I received a miracle, really.
Yeah, the self-care side is important.
And I've never felt better than I do now.
I read that in the book.
Which is where
you
dangerous.
Said, I know, and it's incredible. A lot of people would be really jealous to know that you feel so alive and everything's going forward. But the self-care side, what are your personal habits for personal sustenance and just making sure that you are diligent with taking care of yourself?
Well, when I'm having my good days or my bad days?
The bad days. Let's go with the bad days, because that's where a lot of people can be at sometimes.
Yeah, the bad days, I procrastinate and think I've got to start doing something about this. Now, listen, when I'm really on top of my game, I try to be disciplined with eating and so on, and I try to exercise. I actually enjoy jogging. It's getting a lot harder. I go at the pace of a snail now. But I actually love that. I love getting out. I hate treadmills. I find them the most intensely boring thing. And of course, you're looking at the same. But I love getting outside. And even when I travel sometimes, you know, the way I tour, discover a city as I literally jog around. I've got myself into bad trouble sometimes by jogging right into the wrong areas, you know, to a city I don't know. Not real trouble, but it's scary.
You get lost easily.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm like everyone. I have to say that there's been big periods in my life where I'm not as disciplined as I should be. So.
And Bobby features quite strongly in the book as well, which, of course, you can imagine that. And, I mean, you guys have been married, what, over 40 years now?
Yeah, 41.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I wonder, because she obviously has her own personal vision and she's obviously pursued that really strongly, but if she hadn't shared your vision for what you wanted to do with your life, I feel like this all could have been a very different story. If there's someone watching who has a family where they feel like, I feel like my family's holding me back, or that kind of perspective, how do you get your family on board with your dream and vision?
Look, I think for Bobby and I, honestly, if you were to ask what's, you know, been our marriage tips, you know, what's kept our marriage strong, honestly, being together in vision has been the strongest thing. I think two people can have totally different careers. One could be working in a church situation and the other completely in, you know, a professional role somewhere out there in a secular world. But that's not the issue. The issue is that our heart and our purpose and our calling are in the same direction. And if you get that, then I feel, number one, it will keep you, you know, when everything else fails, you've got something to keep you together. But on top of that, you know, you build a family that's going in one direction. It's very difficult when people are trying to juggle, you know, my personal life and my Christian life and my church life and my this life. So the best thing people can do is decide it's all about serving Jesus. And when we make that decision, everything's going in the same direction.
And I want to come back to one thing you mentioned in the book about us having our own, we have to be diligent with what we're doing. And then there's the spiritual component as well that sort of latches onto the top of that. What part do you think we play in seeing what more there is God has for us? And what part do you think the spiritual grace and favor of God plays?
I think they work together. You know, everyone's gifted and graced. And so your gift, my gift might be entirely different, but we both have gifts and we both are graced by God for his purpose, for our calling. And I just really feel that if people stay in their lane and stay in what God has graced them for, that what they have in their life, naturally speaking, is going to line up with what God's got in their life spiritually. I've often talked about the fact that God's not schizophrenic. I don't think he makes us one way to use us a different way. And so God gave us giftings and talents for his purpose and for his calling. And so, yeah, you know, if you've got a dream that's not birthed in the will of God, which means you're just kicking against what you were created to do all the time, I think you're going to find that you're going to end up disappointed. But if you work out, this is who God called me to be, this is what seems to flow in my life, and even though a lot of it's still ahead of me and I'm just a tiny way onto this journey, I feel like you will find that the grace of God will propel you.
Pastor Brian, thank you so much for chatting with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, by the way.